Hello and welcome to the Money and Banking Law Podcast with Joe Sylvia, brought to you by Duane Morris, an international law firm with roughly 30 offices and 1,000 lawyers all over the world. I'm your host, Joe Sylvia. I'm a former Federal Reserve lawyer who represents banks, fintechs, and financial services clients on M&A, payments, and regulatory matters at Duane Morris. I'm also a core member of our banking, fintech, and digital assets and blockchain practices. Now, while we can't provide legal, financial, investment, or tax advice on the podcast, our goal for the Money and Banking Law Podcast is to inform and educate our clients and friends on both the fundamental concepts and structure of the banking ecosystem, as well as critical developments in the law and regulation of money and banking. Thanks for joining us today. As always, if you have any questions from any of our podcast episodes, please reach out to me at jsylvia@duanemorris.com. Today, we're talking about Regulation O. Let's jump in. Regulation O restricts extensions of credit by a bank to insiders of the bank or insiders of an affiliate of the bank. Okay, so Regulation O is titled really Loans to Executive Officers, Directors, and Principal Shareholders of Member Banks. Historically, there were abusive insider lending practices that had caused bank failures in the United States. Now, obviously, quite a while ago, but thus is the genesis for the creation of Regulation O, which comes from Sections 22G and 22H of the Federal Reserve Act. It was designed to prevent insider self-dealing at banks and to limit banks' credit exposure to its insiders. They apply the terms of Reg O to member banks, so banks that have elected to become members of the Federal Reserve System. However, over time, other federal law has extended the scope to cover all federally insured state non-member banks and federally insured savings associations. So essentially all banks and savings associations. So as I mentioned, it's a focus on extensions of credit to insiders, executive officers, directors, and so forth. So who are insiders as that's defined under Reg O? Well, it defines insiders as executive officers, directors, and principal shareholders of a bank and its affiliates and the related interests of each of these persons. So an executive officer, sometimes it's clear that someone's an executive officer because of their title, but really it's a person who participates or has the authority to participate in major policymaking functions at the bank. Some people are presumed to be executive officers, like the chairman of the board, the president, vice presidents of the bank. And there is a process for excluding officers from this executive officer status if you do so by a board of directors resolution, so on and so forth. Second group is directors. So director is any director of the bank, whether or not they receive compensation. Non-elected and non-voting advisory directors generally are outside the scope of Reg O. And as opposed to excluding executive officers by board of resolution, there's no process for excluding directors by board resolution. There is a process for excluding directors of certain affiliates of the bank by resolution of the bank's board, but there isn't a process for excluding directors of the bank by the board of directors board resolution. Thirdly, there's this principal shareholder concept. So a principal shareholder of a company is an individual or company that directly or indirectly, acting in concert with one or more other shareholders, owns, controls, or has the power to vote more than 10% of any class of voting securities of the company. More than 10% of any class of voting securities of the company. Shares that are owned or controlled by immediate family members of an individual should be attributed to the individual when determining whether the individual is a principal shareholder. So, for example, if my wife owns 5%, I own 6%, we're both principal shareholders because together we own more than 10% of the class of voting securities. Now, one of the things that we will learn as we walk through some of these bank-specific regulations is that the definitions are absolutely critical. And so, with respect to the definition of immediate family member, Regulation O has a pretty narrow definition. It only includes the spouse, minor children, and adult children living in the home. It's much narrower than the definition of immediate family or the concept of immediate family that we see in Regulation Y for bank holding companies, for example. That definition includes grandparents, grandchildren, siblings, etc. It's a broader definition, which we'll touch on in another episode. With respect to an affiliate of a bank, an affiliate of a bank is any company that controls the bank and any other company that's controlled by that parent company. So, control, as we've found out and will find out with other episodes, is one of the most critical concepts in bank regulatory land. For purposes of Regulation O, control is defined as one of three things: either ownership or control of 25% or more of a class of voting stock of a company, or the ability to appoint a majority of the directors of a company, or the ability to exert a controlling influence over the management or policies of a company. So, for example, a bank's holding company and any other subsidiaries of the holding company would all be affiliates of the bank for purposes of Regulation O. Finally, a related interest. What's a related interest? Well, a related interest of an executive officer, a director, or a principal shareholder of the bank or an affiliate of the bank is also an insider for purposes of Regulation O. It defines a related interest of a person as a company that's controlled by that person. Related interests, importantly, are companies. They are not natural persons. Therefore, family members of an insider are not related interests of the insider for Reg O purposes. Okay, so related interests are corporate entities. So, moving on, what's an extension of credit, right? That's a loaded term. There's other areas of bank regulatory world that that deal with extensions of credit, such as Regulation W, which is loans and transactions with affiliates. But under Reg O, an extension of credit is the making or renewal of a loan, the granting of a line of credit, or the extension of credit in any manner. So it is a relatively broad-based view of extension of credit, what a loan is. There's a non-exhaustive list of transactions that are considered to be extensions of credit included in Reg O, things like repurchase agreements, guarantees, standby letters of credit. An extension of credit for Reg O purposes includes almost any transaction where an insider, remember, executive officer, director, principal shareholder, related interest, where an insider becomes obligated to pay money to the bank. It also provides that an extension of credit by a bank is deemed to be made to an insider to the extent that the proceeds of the credit are transferred to an insider or are used for the tangible economic benefit of an insider. So this is where we see this attribution rule coming up in Reg O. And it's one of the areas that we do get a good amount of questions from boards of directors, executive officers, and otherwise at our regulated institutions, because it's clear but not clear. It's a little murky, and it's one of these nuances that we have in bank regulation where, having spent time at the Federal Reserve and understanding how the Federal Reserve considers things like the attribution rule, how they review the facts of any particular scenario or circumstance, it can be helpful for advising clients in this area. So the attribution rule, while broad, does not apply if the extension of credit to the non-insider is on market terms and the proceeds of that extension of credit are used by that non-insider in some kind of bona fide transaction to acquire property, goods, or services from the insider. So while there may be a tangible economic benefit to the insider, if we have market terms and it's a bona fide transaction for the purchase of property, goods, or services, then we have kind of this exception to the attribution rule. I don't want to take and just read through the regulation, but what are the general prohibitions? Well, there's five main restrictions on a bank's ability to extend credit to an insider of either the bank or an affiliate of the bank. One, there's a market terms requirement. Two, there's prior board approval that's required. Four, there's a single insider lending limit of 15% of capital and surplus for loans that are not fully secured, and then an additional 10% for loans that are fully secured by readily marketable collateral. And then there's an aggregate insider lending limit, which is 100% of capital and surplus generally. And there's an overdraft prohibition. Okay, so those are the five main restrictions: market terms, prior board approval, in single insider lending limit, aggregate insider lending limit, and overdraft prohibitions. While there's a lot of detail in each of those restrictions, I want to move on to just give an overview of some of the additional restrictions on executive officers specifically. So Regulation O includes additional limitations with respect to extensions of credit made by a bank to its executive officers. The restrictions only apply to extensions of credit to executive officers of the bank, not to executive officers of the bank's affiliates or to the related interests of executive officers of the bank. So these are a little bit more pointed. The principal executive officer restriction says that a bank cannot extend credit to its own executive officer in an amount that exceeds $100,000 unless, one, the loan is to finance the education of the executive officer's children. Two, the loan is to finance or refinance the purchase, construction, or improvement of a single residence of an executive officer. Or three, the loan is secured by obligations of or fully guaranteed by the U.S. or its agencies or by a segregated deposit account at the bank. With respect to the residence exception, the exception for the purchase, construction, or improvement of a residence can only be used on one residence. That one residence could be a primary home or it can be a vacation home, but only one. There's no definition of residence, but generally the house has to be used by the executive officer as a home or a residence for a significant portion of the year. It cannot be used to purchase multi-unit buildings where the executive officer lives in one unit. And finally, the extension of credit has to be secured by a first lien on the residence. HELOCs, home equity lines of credit with second priority, don't fit within the residence exception. If you refinance and fold in other debt like a car or student loan, it's fine generally as long as it's all secured by that first lien on the residence. So those are a couple of the exceptions to get to an extension of credit for executive officers above that $100,000 threshold, which really isn't all that much. The Dodd-Frank Act from 2011 adds or amends the definition of extension of credit for purposes of lending limits to insiders. So it's Section 614 of the Dodd-Frank Act. And so an extension of credit from a bank to a person will include, or does include now, a credit exposure of the bank to a person that arises from derivative transaction, a repo agreement, a reverse repo, securities lending transaction, or securities borrowing transaction between the bank and that person. Additionally, with respect to the Dodd-Frank Act and Regulation O, Section 615 of the Dodd-Frank Act repeals Section 22D of the Federal Reserve Act that provided that banks could purchase or sell securities or other property from their directors when such purchase is made in the regular course of business on market terms or when the purchase is authorized by the board, essentially. There's a new subsection to the FDI Act, Section 18 of the FDI Act, which is US 12 USC 1828. That comes from Section 615 of the Dodd-Frank Act, and a lot of sections here, I'm sorry, but this new provision imposes restrictions on the purchase of assets by a bank from its insiders, such that an insured depository institution cannot purchase an asset from or sell an asset to an executive officer, director, or principal shareholder of the bank or any related interest of that person unless that transaction is on market terms and if the transaction represents more than 10% of the capital stock and surplus of the bank, the transaction has been approved in advance by a majority of the board of the bank who do not have an interest in the transaction. Okay, so that's a very, very brief overview of Regulation O. I'm hoping with some of these episodes to do brief overviews of certain regulations or certain aspects of a regulation, certain definitions within a regulation, to help educate. But also in the future, I hope to take some deeper dives into particular areas of problem that we've seen over the last few decades with respect to a particular regulation or a particular transaction, group of transactions, so forth. So I think that by example, will be helpful to understand how some of these provisions operate, whether it's Reg O, Regulation W for affiliate transactions, Reg Y for bank holding companies, or otherwise. But that's my hope, is that I continue to do basics in some areas, but then deeper dives with some examples or at least tips and best practices to help anyone out there that might be struggling with understanding some of these regulations or how they may or may not apply to them as an individual or their company, their bank, and so forth. So with that, I will go to close the episode. As always, if you have any questions, let me know. You know where to reach me, jsylvia@duanemorris.com, or you can reach out to any of your favorite Duane Morris lawyers. Please be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, or otherwise. I really appreciate you listening in. I hope this episode is helpful. I hope the background is helpful. But please stay tuned for new episodes coming soon, brought to you by Duane Morris and yours truly, for the Money and Banking Law Podcast with Joe Sylvia. Thanks.